have your Bibles tonight, turn, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning, we enjoyed the story of the resurrection. One of the results, the great results of the resurrection, is that now we can be God's children and we can be soldiers or servants of Christ. That's one of the great blessings of the resurrection. We have a reason to live. We have a purpose in life. And so I want you to notice tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to be strong in the grace that God has given to you. I want you to be strong in your own life spiritually. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3, thou, therefore, as a result of the opportunity to be a soldier for Christ, as a result of you and I being saved. Now, what are we going to do with our lives? Okay, we looked at this morning, we can recommend Christ to other people. In order to do that, there are times whenever we have to know the scriptures well enough to take them to certain places to answer their questions, to try to help them to grow in the Lord, to try to help them if they're not saved, to see the Lord. There are many passages of scriptures that we would use to draw their attention to the fact that they're lost. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. Many times you want someone to understand that their good deeds they have to set aside. They have to get rid of them or they can never be saved. But once Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, we put our faith and trust in Christ, then we can recommend him to others, number one. Number two, we can represent him. We can be a testimony to him. We're going to look at a little bit of that tonight. But then we can rejoice in him. And you know, when I say rejoice, we can rejoice in this life no matter the difficulties. But when we step foot inside heaven, we can rejoice if we have done what is right. And I want you to see tonight, this soldier spoken of, Paul is writing to Timothy. And notice, if you would, in verse 1, thou therefore be strong in the grace. Notice verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he gives an example of a soldier. A soldier is one, they go to boot camp. They grind out for weeks and weeks and sometimes months. If they go into special ops, from there they would be maybe even years of training to get prepared to do very special things, clandestine things, things that we would not know about. And we have heroes all over, the Green Beret, the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs have elite groups of troops. And the Lord says, I want you to be elite Christians, elite in the idea that that there are always going to be Christians that look at being saved and don't realize the privilege that they have. Just like there are soldiers that join up to get a free education. They join up to get some of the freebie things and they didn't want to go to college, so they just said, well, I'll just do that sort of as a default. Well, as a Christian, there are many people that have trusted Christ as Savior, but they haven't given themselves over to serve yet. They haven't looked at it like I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I have a purpose in my life. Now, I want you to notice, you'll see a few things about this. And I want you to see, really, five quick things. Number one, a soldier must strive against evil. Notice, if you would, in verse 5 of chapter 2. In verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him, have chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. If any man also strive for masteries, if we labor for mastery, this word strive is the word athleo. We get our English word athletic from it. In other words, somebody that uses their physical skills and they're good at it. He said, if we're going to strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned unless he strives lawfully. So this idea of striving, it's the idea of laboring. Another original word in the Greek text is the word agonizomai. It's the word we get our English word agonize from. If you've ever gone to a weight room and maybe in high school or you have weights at your home and you lift them and you're trying to get that last rep in and your arms begin to vibrate a little bit, you're trying to get it up. You're striving against the weight. And he says here, I want my servants to strive. I want them to give their best. I want them to make that last push. You know, we don't, if we're not careful, we don't labor to this level of diligence. And I want you to notice, if you would, that this striving is, it speaks to the effort we put into our Christian life. And folks, tonight, there's no one on earth can make you try hard to be a great Christian. But you. I mean, Jesus Christ can't pay more. He's already given his life. He can't ask for more. He says right here, he wants us to strive with all of our hearts. He wants us to give our very best. You'll notice, not only that, look in verse number 15. Not only to strive, but he wants us to study. Notice in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to take just a minute and go through this word study. Literally, the word study is spedazzo. It's to be able to hasten, to do something thoroughly, but it's to do something with exertion. So, in other words, when you study, you put your heart into it. And so you'll notice he said, study to show thyself approved. Study for a purpose. Tonight, if you realize that Jesus Christ raised from the dead for you, do we study God's word with a purpose? And I'll take just a minute. Let me just give you three thoughts on that. Number one, do you have a time that you study? Do you have a time that you spend with the Lord? My encouragement to you is that you would set a time every morning. David said, early will I seek thee. So I think the best time of the day is to get up early enough to where you can spend a little bit of time with the Lord Jesus. Make it a time where you decide this is the time and you block it out. If you're going to spend time with your wife and family, you're going to have to block it out. If you're going to spend time with your children, you have to block it out. You have to assign a time. Anything you do not assign a time to, you will not do regularly. I mean, when Susan was here and this life, and then and every Monday and Friday, I looked so forward to getting off at noon. She got off at noon teaching in the school, and we would meet together. And so we had a specific time each week, twice, really, three times, really, because Saturday I wasn't visiting until noon. So Monday, Friday, and Saturday, we would always be together. We would always make the plan of what do you want to do this Saturday? What do you want to do this Friday? What do you want to do this Tuesday? And we would talk about, do we want to go out and get a soup or salad at this place? And do we want to stay home and grill out? Do we want to what do we want to do, honey? You want to go take a nap today? We stayed up late last night. We had something come up. And so today, let's go home and take a nap and relax a little bit. So we would make a plan to be together. And it always worked. For 31 years here, we had an opportunity, well, 28 years, we had an opportunity to spend time together every Monday, Friday, and Saturday, with almost out exception, certain rare things, if we had a funeral or something, or someone needed something. All I'm trying to say is that surely the Lord should have that much time and attention from us. So the first thing about being studious is set a time. And you'll notice, then the second thing is to have a plan. You figure out some way that you're going to read or you're going to study. Maybe you've got some devotional books. Maybe you're going to, there have been times when I've read the New Testament through every 3 months. Or I've read it through every week. Or I've read it through once a year. Or I've read passages on marriage each day, where I've read by subject. I always read the proverb for the day. There's 31 proverbs. It just fits right. So for 50 years, maybe, I've read a proverb every day. So that book is very familiar to me. And I think the Bible says the book of Proverbs is for wisdom. And I know one thing. I've made a lot less mistakes because I've read that book every day for the last 50 years. And so there are some things that I'm just very cautious about, and some things I really watch out for because I was warned in that book. And I've read it so many times, 12 times a year, for 50 years, that's 60 times of warning. You ought to be able to notice something and say, I'm going to stay away from that. So whenever someone starts reading a book of Proverbs, my mind usually finishes the verse. And so it's really exciting to me that I've had a certain plan, and I got that from my youth pastor growing up as a young person. Now, understand, what is your plan? Take a copy of the scriptures, read it. Maybe you have another book that you can read alongside it to sort of give some thoughts about the passage you read, whatever you would like to do. I'm reading Andrew Murray Machane's way of reading through the Bible this year. I've just sort of, it skips around a little bit. I've read chronologically. I try to every year try something a little different. I remember going up to on a vacation years ago with a gentleman that was a professor at a Bible college. I was probably 9, 10 years old, maybe 11. And I was enamored with all the information, just the Bible knowledge that he had. And I remember saying, Dr. McCormick, could I ask you, how is it you just seem, we would mention a passage and you studied it, you know it. I mean, we'd mention something in the New Testament, a parable or one of the Pauline epistles, a verse or a reference, and you could just go through it. I mean, oh yeah, that's a great passage for this. Oh, yeah, that's a good thought for here. And there's another passage over here that matches that one. I mean, how do you know all that? And he said, well, I said, look, he said, I wanted to know God's word. So I covenanted with the Lord that I was going to read the New Testament through every week. And I did that for 7 years. So if you read the entire New Testament through every week for 7 years, you're going to have a pretty good understanding where everything is. And so when somebody brings something up, if you're reading through it and marking and making notes in it, my goodness, no wonder. I went, oh, you know, I tried to read the New Testament through and I got about through Matthew in that week. And I said, wow, there's 28 chapters in Matthew. Oh my goodness. There's 24. I mean, there's 16 in Mark and, you know, 24 in Luke and, you know, 21 in John. And I'm thinking, wow, all those in a week. And so I learned that to be studious brings dividends. It helps you to be prepared to represent Christ well. I'm amazed at all the IT things that some of our guys know. I mean, it's like they're talking a foreign language. And, you know, you think about, why did this not work? Why did that not work? And well, they're switching from this computer to that computer. Well, this hard drive or I need to download this or this app, or I need to get this link. And my goodness, you know, I'm learning a link. I thought that was something you put in two chains together, you know, like that. And now I'm finding out it's on your phone, it's on your cell phone, it's on your computer, and you click on it, it takes you someplace else and brings something up. I mean, all kinds of things. They study that. And then they're very good at what they do. Why is it we as God's children, because He raised from the dead, because He loves us, and He's going to go prepare a place for us. And He's been doing that for 2,000 years. Why would we not be studious for Him? So that we could represent Him and people would say, wow, you know an awful lot about the Scriptures. Well, I just wanted to be a good representative, a good servant, a good soldier. Notice if you would, not only that, but, you know, it's time and it's a plan, but it's effort. I mean, it's hard work to get up in the mornings and some of our men go to work at 3:30 in the morning. And they get up to start to go at 4:30 or 5. And I have so much respect for them getting up early so they can spend a little bit of time with the Lord before they go to work. Studious, you'll notice, study to show thyself approved unto God. So the purpose, notice, keep in mind, you got time, you got plan, and you got effort, and you got purpose. What is the purpose for your study? Well, He gives it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And He gives two parts to it. He said, I want you to get the approval of God. That's what I want you to study for. So Paul is writing to Timothy and he said, look, I want you to study so that you can be approved of God. And he knew what the word dokumos meant. I want you to be able to, God look at you and you didn't shave any corners. You didn't cut any shortcuts. You did everything the right way. And you'll notice, if you would, I'm proud of you. But then you'll notice also, he said, that needeth not to be ashamed. This word ashamed is an awful word in the Greek text. It means disfigured. It means that you're ashamed for people to look at you. Something's happened. And you don't look nice. And so he says here, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, he uses the same thing. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to see this verse. Same word. Notice, if you would, 1 John chapter 2. And look with me, if you would, in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him. So study the Lord and then abide with the Lord, that when he shall appear, when they have confidence, here it is, not be ashamed. It is this word disfigured again before that is coming. And the idea is that you wouldn't feel in your heart like you're embarrassed to look at him. It's different than if you're in awe of him and you put your head down. It's a lot different that than if you are ashamed to look at him. Because you know you failed as a studious servant of Christ. So he said, look, study to show thyself approved is your first purpose, so that he's pleased with you. But number two, that you wouldn't be ashamed, both positive and negative. So there are going to be people there that are going to stand before the Lord that can't look him in the eye. I pray it's not people from Temple. I'm pleading with you tonight that you would look into God's word and you would realize that your great Heavenly Father sent his Son to die for you and I. And we want to learn to study and to serve the Lord so that we don't have to look away when we see him, because we know we've failed him. And folks, tonight, you've got time to succeed this week. You haven't failed this coming week. You have nothing to be ashamed of this coming week. Let's make it count. So you'll notice, if you would, number one, to strive. Number two, to study. But number three, I want you to notice, a good servant is to shun certain things. Look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You'll notice, if you would, in this passage, I want to take just a minute. He gives a little bit about some of these things to shun. And this word is amazing. It's peristomy. Peri is to turn around. You're like a periscope. That's this prefix. But then histemi is to stand. So it's to turn your back to something. So it says, I want you to shun the wrong wording. Notice, if you would, but shun profane and vain babblings. Things that don't make an eternal difference. Some of the profane things that I would think of is, that I just sort of looked at and said, how can I apply this to my life, would be number one, is that it would be dirty jokes. I just want to turn my back on that. It would be sarcastic, hurtful words. I'll just turn my back on that. It would be murmuring words, complaining behind somebody's back. I don't want to be a part of that. It could also be doctrinal error. It was here. Notice in verse number 17, and their word doth eat as a canker, as a cancer. It's a literal the word gangrene. As their word would eat, and it would keep eating. It is a destructive word. That it goes from one person to another person and it destroys a congregation. So there have been many a congregation that's gotten a split because of this one thing. They did not shun vain babblings. Talks that you know are not right to repeat. And you know are not right to listen to. So a good soldier says, I'm not listening to that. Maybe you're in a battle and two soldiers say, you know, it's getting too hot here. Let you and I run over there. Let's retreat and get over behind that tree. And somebody that's a real servant is going to say, I'm not listening to that. That's crazy. I'm a soldier. I'm going to fight till my last breath. I'm going to stay and fight. That's what a soldier does. But I'm going to turn my back to hearing that kind of talk. So that's what a Christian does. Look at the word profane. It's literally the word for a threshold. In other words, it's things that are that we would walk on. See, how many of you would eat your dinner sitting at your threshold? The threshold is a dirty place. It's a place you would clean, but you never get your threshold clean. I mean, you don't get down there with a sponge and clean your threshold. The threshold is always something that's dirty. I mean, don't get me wrong. We sweep it. You might even mop it, but it's not going to last long. It's going to be dirty most of the time. It's a threshold. It's meant to be walked on. And he said, there's certain language for a Christian that's just dirty. It's meant never to be discussed. It's meant to be beneath you. As a Christian, you turn your back on. Shun vain babblings. Now, not only that, but you'll notice we have to shun certain people in their way. Look at Proverbs, if you would. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs. It's, again, I love the book of Proverbs. I've read it an awful lot of times. And I love this passage, Proverbs chapter 4. Notice, if you would. Now, this is the way of evil men. Shun the direction that people go that you know is not right. So if you're a teenager and you're at school and there are people that are talking bad about their parents or bad about a teacher or bad about, you know that's not right. It's vain babbling. So you just turn your back on that. You decide, I'm not going to be a part of that. Someplace in a Christian school, someplace a Christian's got to stand up and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. And they turn their back to it and say, I'm not listening. And maybe you're at work. And there's some guy complaining about his wife. And you say, listen, I'm not listening to that. Notice, if you would, chapter 4, Proverbs, verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. There it is. Turn from it. There's our word. Turn around to your back to it. Turn from it and pass away. Notice, if you would, he gives us a clear direction, the path of the wicked. When you find someone going the wrong direction, they lose their temper. That's the wrong direction. They have a lustful mindset. That's the wrong direction. You look at somebody, he said, look, you're a servant. Jesus didn't save us, die, and raise from the dead, that his children could represent dirty things or vain things or things that bring no glory to God. You and I, as a servant of Christ, have to realize I've got to shun some things. Folks, if you're going to be a great Christian, you've got to shun some things. Hey, look, if you're going to be a great athlete, I remember being in high school and this wrestler comes in. We're sitting down and we're fixing to eat. And then I spread out my lunch and I had 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, great big ones. And you know, the jelly, peanut butter is about that thick on them. My mother would always fix me something. You know, I love peanut butter. You can't put too much peanut butter on anything. I mean, it's just wonderful. We go to men's prayer breakfast and on waffles. I love peanut butter on waffles. They fix biscuits. I put peanut butter on biscuits and jelly. I just love peanut butter. And so my mother fixed me 2 big old peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I'd have some chips and some other things there and maybe a Snickers bar or a candy bar of some sort and cold drink. And this guy comes over and he sits down and I can tell he's been working out a lot. He's a wrestler he's got a banana. And I said, hey, you want some of my lunch? Oh, no. I got to make weight. What do you mean, make weight? He said, I'm wrestling at a certain weight. He listed the weight. And he said, I got 3 pounds to go. He said, I'm going to get to my weight so I can wrestle. Now, that is somebody I want to go into battle with. Someone that's striving to be the best that they can be. Where are the Christians like that? That was a teenage young man. I guarantee he's a success in this life. I've lost track of him, but I guarantee he's a success because he's learned to say, I'm not eating that today. I'm not going to eat two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I might eat a half. But I'm going to make way. In other words, he's got a purpose to his madness. And so he said, look, I need the potassium and I need the strength of a banana, but that's all I'm eating today. And I'll be ready for weight in the morning. I looked at somebody and I said, wow, that's really one of the first times that because I could eat the legs off the table and never gain a pound, you know. And so I would look at it and say, wow, what's the problem? Why do you want to lose weight? Who wants to do that? Well, I've got to make it to my weight class. Now, you know, I realized that in college, you know, I had to make weight. And I remember having to make that 178-pound weight class. And I said, wow, you know, you're trying to lose a few pounds because they put you on the scale. You try to get it so you can wrestle somebody else of your weight. And I remember there's sort of a fear in your heart. So I got to be careful what I eat. Well, we have to be careful what we follow and do. Be careful of the path of the wicked. Shun it. And every young person has to do that. Every adult has to do that. You cannot be a good servant. You cannot be a good soldier if you don't learn to shun things and say, no, that's not going to be a part of my life. By the way, you can't even be a healthy American until you learn to shun some things. I mean, I want you to know something. I love Bluebell ice cream. I mean, I love it with a passion. But I can't eat it now, like I used to eat it. I would eat a Bluebell ice cream in two sittings, the whole bucket, and I would put chocolate on it and take the chocolate thing and empty the chocolate onto it, half of that, and then I would go get some marshmallow cream and put that on there and get peanuts and spread all over the top of it. It was like heaven, and I didn't gain anything. I was really enjoying myself. Now, I can look at Bluebell ice cream. I have to close the freezer. I've gained a couple pounds. And you know what? I'm looking forward to getting to heaven where that stops. I'm just sick of that right now. I like to be able to enjoy things. And I think when we get to heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to sit down and look at the whole plate, whole table full of food and say, Lord, will I gain any weight? And he says, nope, dig in. That's going to be heaven. That is heaven. So I just want to remind you today, as a servant of Christ in this life, there are some things we have to say no to and we shun it. Nope. I want to be a soldier. Why? Because I want to see him. I want to be approved. I don't want to have a shame in my heart. Notice, if you would, not only that, but I want you to see that we have to be sanctified. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Here it is, sanctified and meet for the master's use. This word sanctification, hagiazo, is the word for holy. In other words, it's two parts. It's to shun things, but it's also to turn to things. It's a holiness. It's an availability for use. It is that you have prepared yourself. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You prepare yourself. You make sure that you're clean and that you're available to the Lord. You're sanctified. No one ever goes to their pantry or their cupboard or their cabinets and opens up the cabinets. No one in this room would take dirty glasses and put it in the cabinet. No one does that. Oh, maybe a small child, because they don't know much different. They'll get it and put up there. I'll get it for next time. But no one as an adult will take a dirty cup or a dirty glass and put it in the cabinet, because we know better. Everything in that cabinet is clean. You and I want to learn to say, Lord, I want to be prepared for your use. So I'm going to make myself available. Lord, I'm going to keep myself clean and I'm going to make myself available. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 22, flee also youthful lusts and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call the Lord out of a pure heart. Hagiazo is pureness. He said, so make yourself available with a pure heart. What is that? Add to your life righteousness. Add to your life a little faith. I'm going to trust the Lord in my life. I'm going to trust the Lord during this pandemic. I could be afraid. And what about if I don't have the money to pay my house payment? What if I don't have the money to pay my car payment? What about this? What about that? I want to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you because you knew about this pandemic before anybody did. And so I'm going to trust you. So there's some faith that's there. Look, you can't be on the mission field and have all this be happening and your family all tied up in knots without having some faith. But we ought to have faith too. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ, you've got to be sanctified, meet, prepared for the Master's use. You've got to have some faith in the Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you. You've got to have some holiness in your heart. You'll notice he says, faith and charity. You've got to have love in your heart. No great Christian is absent of love. Now, one of the things about a soldier, he can be absent of love because he's a warrior. But God says, I want my soldiers to be loaded up with the love of God in their heart. I want you to love people. I want you to love me. I want you to add love to your life. Notice he says, flee also you from lust, but follow righteousness. I want you, remember you said you're to shun certain things, but you're to follow other things. So he said, as a good servant of Jesus Christ, I want you to follow love and make sure you put it in your heart. So when you get up into the cabinet, Lord, I'm ready for use. Lord, here I am. Look here, I'm up in the cabinet. I'm ready for use. I'm ready for use. I've got love in my heart. I've got the next one is peace in my heart. I'm ready. I'm ready to be used, Lord. He says, you're prepared. Are we prepared? Or is there a little bitterness in our heart? Was there lust in her heart? I want you to notice in verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, do you realize it's my job to clean up my life? Oh, the Holy Spirit will help me. I'm not alone. But it's not like I've got to go to my wife and say, honey, I want you to help me not turn on the computer and watch pornography. Or it's not like parents, the children say, Dad, I want you to catch me and don't let me watch pornography. Or don't let me tell dirty jokes. I mean, you don't rely on other people. You learn to rely upon the Lord and strengthen yourself. Purge himself from these things. It is important. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, as a servant, that you and I prepared for the Master's use. He died to prepare you, to save your soul, and to sanctify your life so that he could use you to represent him well. Are we representatives of Jesus Christ? And Brother Scott said it in Sunday school this morning, little Christs. Are you a little Christ? He was holy. He was meet for his Father's use. His prayer in the garden was, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, thy will be done. He was available. Are you available for God to use this week? You're not available if you're fearful of things. You're not in the cabinet ready to be used. Notice, if you would, faithful service brings a satisfaction. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse 6. But I am now ready to be offered, time of my departure at hand. This is just before Paul's martyred. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know what he's saying? I'm satisfied in my soul. I feel like there's a calm in my heart because I've done what God wanted me to do. Folks, I cannot tell you the joy that this verse is. When you're older and you look back and you fought a good fight. and you've done your best. Oh, all of us could say, I wish I could have done this or done that. But we know in our heart when we've really tried. How many of you have ever failed at something, but you tried? The idea is that, Lord, I gave it my best. I didn't always succeed, but Lord, I gave it my best. I mean, I can remember in high school running some wind sprints. So I ran the half mile, and I can remember we would practice half miles, and you would run them. I mean, I think about that today. Oh, my goodness. You run a half a mile, and you run another half mile, and you run like five or six of them to get prepared to run one. And so you would try to run three of them underneath a certain time. Then you'd take a little bit of break and you'd try to run one underneath a certain time. Then you'd run half of it. I mean, you did all kinds of things to just get prepared for that one race. And yet, whenever you got done at the end of the day, if you had trained hard, you may not have hit your goals, but boy, when I went home, I was ready to eat and I was comfortable in my heart. I did my best today. I may not ever make that one whatever time I was trying to reach to, but I felt like I did my best. So a Christian doesn't have to be perfect. They just have to be willing to do their very best. And once you put your effort into it, there's a certain satisfaction. He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. Now look, everybody in this room and watching is one of these days, absent the Lord Jesus comes back to get us. Every one of us is going to come to this day. I've been in hospital rooms where people have passed from this life to the next. I've been in apartments when someone has passed from this life into the next. I've been all kinds of places. But every one of us is coming to the day where you're going to be able to look up and say, Lord, I've done my best. Folks, live for that. It's a great joy to be able to look back. I mean, I look back at my life and I say, Lord, I did the right things. I went to the right school. I married the right girl. I went to the right places. I've come to temple. I'm in the right place. I'm in the will of God. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I can feel like if you call me home tonight, I can say, Lord, I did my best. And what a great comfort that is, a satisfaction that allows you to be able to look at the Lord and say, Lord, oh, Holy One, I really did my best for you. I remind you that there's a reward laid up for that. Verse 8, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's a crown that everybody in this room can win. I remember I was watching television many years ago. And I don't know, as a young man, I don't know how old it was, early, late 20s, early 30s. And I don't know why I was watching this channel, but I got enamored. I saw B-29 bombers flying, and it was sort of like a documentary, but it was about one guy. I thought it was a little strange. Why would they do a documentary on this guy? What's so special about him? But they were talking about him. And at the very end, they did an interview. And a part of his face was marred and gone. Part of his hand was gone. He'd obviously been burned severely. His name was Red Irwin. And they said, you know, Red, what actually happened in that B-29 going over Japan? What had happened was they were flying their B-29 and they're in the series. And they hit an air pocket. Now, the bomb bay doors had opened up. They hit an air pocket. And it was his job to strike a phosphorus flare, white hot, and drop it out of the plane. Everybody bombed off that flare. So that flare somehow had gotten struck and rolled in the plane amongst all the bombs. And he said, so it blinded me. So he got on the floor of the plane and he crawled toward the heat. And he picked up the phosphorus flare and pulled it to his chest. Well, it's burning. And he crawled back, got to the cockpit, and threw it out. Forty surgeries later, over years, I watched the interview as they interviewed Mr. Red Irwin with a Congressional Medal of Honor. They said, you saved not only your plane, but the mission. You saved your plane, all your comrades. And, you know, he's got this gnarly hand and his face is all scarred up. And he comes back like that to his family. And they said, why did you do it? I'm a soldier. And soldiers do what they're supposed to do. That was required for me. I was just doing my duty. Do you understand tonight? We're all soldiers. Are we willing to do the hard things? The things we know will cost us. But with things we know will bring great satisfaction. For the rest of his life since 1945. Now, he passed away several years ago. But from the day of 1945 and all those surgeries were done, when he went home, can you imagine the satisfaction in his heart? Oh, the price was great. But he'd done his best. He had saved every member of the crew. Japan had surrendered. He had done his job. Tonight, have we done our job? Let's do it 1 week at a time. God does not require us to grab a white phosphorus flare and burn our lives up. He requires us to do our best. Tonight, strive for Him. Study for Him. Shun things that are wrong for Him. I just want to encourage you. Make sure that you're sanctified for Him so that eventually you'll have satisfaction for Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. I know that there's not much we can do this week. Maybe you're working from home. You're sort of separated from people. But you know, our countenance can be a testimony for Jesus Christ. I know we've got masks on. But people can still see the bounce in our step, the joy in our heart in many ways. Now, the old devil is trying to muzzle our testimony. Let's represent the King of Kings well this week. Whether it's a phone call to somebody that we love or somebody in the church, let's be a blessing to people. Put love in your heart. Put joy in your heart. Put study in your heart. Be prepared. Be available. Today, are you a soldier that Jesus Christ sits in heaven tonight and says, Dave Pittman was worth it. We could not be worth it in our view. But we could be in Jesus when He says two words, well done. Tonight, are you working for that purpose? Well done. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen.